Hey, and welcome back to New York Wedding Jam, the podcast for modern couples. Martine, how are you?
I'm so well, Jason. It is a pleasure talking to you again. How are you?
I'm doing good. How was your week?
Oh, you know, just trying to get back into the swing of things right now, trying to do some things. I'm trying to get back to some of the books that I'm reading. I don't know if you know this about me, Jason, or not, but I really do. I like to get into my books. I know we've had a couple of conversations about that, but and I've had some responsibilities keeping me away from the stories, so trying to get back to those.
Well, my son, I just registered him for volleyball, so I think his tryouts are coming up very soon.
Oh, that's fun.
So yeah, my son is a big athlete, but I'm very surprised that he's playing volleyball. He's a big baseball and football guy, but right now there's a middle season between the two seasons and he wants to try out for volleyball. So I will never tell my son not to play a sport. But yeah, I didn't see that coming. So let's see how it goes.
So interesting. So what have you had this conversation with your son about, like, why the love of volleyball or why volleyball as opposed to some other sport? Maybe.
No, I mean, in his middle school, there's only certain sports only played during certain seasons. So I think right now we're in winter two season. So I think for boys, there's wrestling and there's volleyball. There might be one other thing. I don't remember.
No,
what
basketball?
That's in the previous season. That's
interesting.
Winter one. That's winter one.
Okay.
So he did not play basketball. But I always tell my son, you can play any sport you want and I will support. I mean, I'm lucky to have a son that wants to play sports, right? He likes video games and being on his phone too, which that's another battle. But if he wants to play whatever sport he wants to play, I will buy him all the gear. I will get him all the equipment he needs and go for it. I'm a lucky father to have that. So
Jason, do you also like to play lots of sports?
I do. I've played a lot. I'm playing a lot less now that I am doing weddings, but I grew up as an athlete. I was a scholarship athlete in college and in high school.
What was your sport of choice?
Swimming and water polo. I know.
Really?
Yes, I know. I know.
I would not have called swimming. I would not.
I know. I coached at Division I level college swimming and pretty high level swimming. I've coached it and I was pretty good in my time. I have records and medals from New York City in high school. So that was my thing.
You know, I'm learning a whole lot about you during this podcast, Jason, which I find fascinating. But that's really cool. I'm glad to hear that you have a son who can at least experience the enthusiasm with you, even if it's different sports.
Yeah, no, I mean, I played baseball too in high school and in college. And so he plays baseball, but he's now playing football. He's really big into football. And I love football. I never played it, but I love the Jets, as sad as it is to say. But
I'm a Giants fan, so I understand the sadness, you know, on this side of it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, he loves football. He's very good at it. And I'm excited for him. So.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, Jason, today I wanted to kind of dive into some of the fun multicultural experiences that I've had at weddings. And I just really, truly love watching couples mix and meld different traditions. A lot of my couples are from different places, like from their partner, even, in addition to, you know, again, like being in America and doing weddings here. But also just kind of incorporating those those traditions from different places, from each other even. So right. not even just from their parents, but even from each other. And I love to watch how people do this and how they can marry these myriads of traditions together in a way that feels cohesive to them. So I have a lot of fun when I'm planning with couples talking about what those traditions are, which ones they want to keep, which ones they're happy to get rid of, and how they can make the wedding their own while they're doing it. How about yourself?
Yeah, I think we were talking about this just before we went live here, but I think that you certainly have more multicultural weddings and more weddings that are like the couple, like you said, is different from each other. I've had a number of weddings where maybe not as many where the couple is different from each other, but also couples that are the same thing, but are both not American. So
right.
I've had quite a bit of experiences with that. Probably not as much as you. Certainly, I find those very interesting because they're different from the norm. And we were also talking about before the show, just, you know, to what extent people are injecting pieces of their culture and pieces of their religion or their traditions into their American style wedding where their American coworkers are coming to and American friends are attending. Right. And so how does all that look? How is all that blended in into an experience that is true to the couple and enjoyable for their guests? So I do enjoy those weddings.
You know, one of the things that I found is the more conversation people have about it and the more that we get into wedding planning, the more you can see how natural it is to incorporate more than one thing into your day, right? Like, it doesn't have to be all or nothing. And I think sometimes people start there, right? We start with the premise of, I can only do it this way or that way. Like, I can only have the American wedding, or I can only have whatever else it is, and add that to it. And the more we talk about the planning, the conversation becomes much more fluid. We're like, okay, maybe you don't want an entire Nigerian wedding or Nigerian ceremony, for example, but I want pieces, I want elements of that incorporated into my day. Or maybe, you know, from a traditional perspective, I am Jewish, you know, for culturally, but I'm not religious. So I don't want a religious ceremony, but I do want elements of a Jewish wedding that I want to incorporate into my day that feel more natural to me and feel like part of what I would want included as for my ceremony or for my reception even. And I think it's really interesting watching couples have those conversations, not just with each other, but also with their families on the things that are important to them that they want to add to the day. And I think it's what I appreciate and like to help my couple see is that it's never all or nothing. And if it's important to you, we can make it happen, right? Like, we can add elements of one thing or another, and we can find time for it as long as we're having that conversation, right? That we want it to be, if that's what you want, if you ultimately want to include some of these pieces, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? Like, just because you don't necessarily want to do all the things doesn't mean we have to toss every single element. If it's important to you to include it, or if you decided to make your parents happy and include some of those pieces into your day, having the conversation about how we can be thoughtful without making things feel hodgepodge or like it was thrown together, but that it ultimately represents the kind of day that you wanted to have, which I really, I think it's such a beautiful thing.
It's interesting. You talk about how you said, well, if the couple wants to make their parents happy, right? And we talked about this in a previous episode about American children versus foreign. I don't know how to say it. Foreign children, right? Children of parents.
Not American, basically. Not American. Anybody else.
They generally honor their parents more than Americans do. I would consider myself American. I'm of Puerto Rican descent, but I grew up here and I consider myself American. And I definitely noticed that children of immigrants or even those born in other lands, when they get married here, there is more of an honoring of the parents in just built into the traditions, whether it be a milk ceremony with Indians or tea ceremony where the parents are involved more than just a father-daughter dance, more than just a mother-son dance, which is, those things are not bad, but certainly you see more involvement, more honoring of the parents in ceremonies, or just not just the ceremony, but the entire day as a whole.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. Like, so, I think I've said this before. Like, my parents aren't from here, but I would want them to be happy if I were ever getting married, right? Like, I want them to be able to enjoy the day too. But not necessarily at my expense. You know what I mean? Like, so, like, I want them to be happy, but I want to be happy. Like, I want the
Right.
day
Why don't you
to
just
look
say,
and look
I
like a
want to be
baby.
the most happy?
I want to be the most happy, right? But I also think, I think there's a way to do both, right? Like, I think there's a way, not just even both, right? Like, again, like I said, there are a lot of couples that I see that actually their traditions are not the same, but we can still incorporate, if we've got, a Korean ceremony that we have to add to the day along with, the American traditions that you're used to, or anything else that we're trying to add to it. You mentioned a tea ceremony. We've met, for our Chinese couples, et cetera. Like, whatever the traditions and culture might be, there are elements of every ceremony, wedding ceremony, no matter where you're from, that can be pulled from to and added to your own in a way that feels thoughtful and not just like we did it to do it. Or we did it by force, If it's something
Yeah.
that's important to you, I think it's worthy of having the conversation and ensuring that you're thinking about those pieces to it and you're making the wedding fun, right? Like, some of the stuff is fun,
Yes. And
Throwing nets for somebody to catch in their mouth, you know what I mean? Carrying people around on their back,
Yeah.
handing out food and presents to parents. Like, I know we'd mentioned that on another podcast, but things like that might just be different that I love to see just because I think it's fun. But I also really appreciate how people can have the conversation and just make sure that we're thinking through some of these things and adding stuff that'll make our day great,
Yeah, from a videographer's perspective, I am generally interacting with the couple as we draw closer to the wedding day itself, and I'm asking, part of my workflow is to learn about the day so that I don't have to interrupt the day, right? As a documentarian, I like to let the day unfold and not direct too much, especially with weddings like this that have their own flavor and their own vibe, right? And so I may not be the most familiar with a certain culture or a certain tradition that's happening, but what I enjoy is, meeting with my couples as in the lead up to the wedding to learn about what things are important for you on the day. And I've had couples share with me certain gift-giving traditions or certain things that are going to happen during the day that they specifically want in their wedding film. And so I think that's cool. I think it's great. I hear these things. I ask them to describe them to me if I've never heard of them. Some of them I have. But I learn about these things and then I anticipate them as they're getting ready to happen. And they do find their way into the film. So As I think I don't know if I was mentioning it in the early parts of this episode or in a previous episode, but I definitely love filming these types of weddings because they have such cool and unique things that are kind of blended into an American style wedding. I mean, the base is American with these added extra elements thrown in. And I think it's great. And so I love interacting with the couples and learning about these things and then filming it on the day.
Me too, Jason. It's just so much fun. I've learned so much in my experience as a wedding planner about multicultural pieces that I would have never known, right? Like, I'd never heard of a cord bearer, honestly, or a coin bearer before I happened to do weddings that involved both of those elements as part of their ceremony. Things like that I'm always happy to learn more and just see how it all kind of plays out when you have multiple cultures that are mixing, or even just, again, non-American, as we put it into the base of your American traditional ceremony, if you will. And watching couples really make these things their own is such a joy to just watch and then see how it plays out on the day of and how everybody from both sides of the aisle really feel like a part of the day.
Yeah. Well, Martine, it was great chatting with you about this. And I know that we have a lot more things kind of related to this, as well as newer and other topics. But yeah, how do you feel this podcast is going?
I mean, honestly, I'm having fun talking to you, Jason. We'll see if anybody else really wants to listen to us yabber on about all these things. But hopefully we're shedding some light on some esoteric wedding pieces of planning and getting there and getting to the day of, and we're helping people along the way.
You know, most podcasters in the beginning of their podcasts always joke that no one's listening. In my mind, I have 100,000 people listening right now.
And Jason, from your lips to God's ears, right? So that's, let's right, just hope that that's where we end up.
I'll see you next time, Martine.
All right, take care. Bye.
Bye.